Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to Episode 205.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Today's episode is brought to you by OmniSend. If you're in e-commerce marketing and it feels like those weekly newsletters are no longer powering your growth, you're going to love OmniSend. With more than 3,000 five-star reviews, OmniSend is the go-to choice for nimble Shopify merchants who want to step up from regular email campaigns so you can actually start increasing your sales and not your workload. With OmniSend, you'll be launching pre-built e-commerce automation in no time, as well as intuitively segmenting customers based on their shopping behavior, and even trying out SMS or push notifications, all from the same platform. And the best part? OmniSend provides an immediate boost to your revenue while staying as easy as drag-and-drop email building, with automated emails averaging up to 40% of the total email revenue, so very compelling. Join Duke Cannon, Black Halo, and other high-growth Shopify brands that choose OmniSend to grow their e-commerce businesses on autopilot. Find out more about OmniSend and start free today. No credit card required. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious lifelong learner, which you probably are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog. I think we're up to 205-ish episodes. There's a great back catalog there. A lot of amazing partners in the Shopify ecosystem, a lot of problems they're solving, a lot of great offers. So check out ecommercefastlane.com. Now, in today's episode, my guest is Tyler Murray. He's the co-founder and CTO of a company called Ghost Retail. Now, I'll give you some background on Tyler. Since 1993, he has led the global expansion and digital innovation for many brands like McDonald's, Universal Pictures, and even the Toronto Raptors. His vision in modern e-commerce and interactive shopping has helped power billions of transactions worldwide. That's with a B. Shopify, I know, has always been one of the core tools in his playbook and, you know, for delivering a lot of these enterprise experiences, certainly at scale, including the early innovation in headless commerce and inventing the very first live shopping technology powered by the Shopify platform. That's why we have Tyler here today. He has successfully exited from multiple startups in e-commerce space, and Ghost Retail now is his latest innovation that has already captured the attention of many of the world's leading brands. We'll talk about them in a few minutes. It's certainly a next generation live video shopping platform. It really is helping retailers to tap into a new revenue stream. So it's a whole new channel. Please strap yourself in. I'm sure this is going to be a great conversation. I'm excited because this is something that's on my radar. One of the things we do in Shopify is that we think about Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and we try to think, what else can we offer the merchants in the Shopify Plus ecosystem? And one of the topics that I have on my whiteboard is live selling. I know how important it is, and it's ironically enough, that's exactly what Ghost Retail does. So hi, Tyler. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. Awesome to be here. I'm looking forward to this conversation because I think we got a lot to unpack.
We do indeed. So I mentioned a little bit at the top that you've been involved in a lot of things along the way, and I love the journey. We'll get into the specific founder journey in a moment, but let's just talk about the platform first, just more on a high level, just so we can dip our toes in the pool a bit about what does Ghost Retail do? Why is it being built, being iterated upon, and then what sort of problems do you believe the platform is solving for Shopify brands?
Sure. Well, Ghost Retail is the world's first enterprise level one-to-one live video shopping platform. What we do is create a complete in-store experience online, all the way from discovery to checkout. So what that means quite simply is our technology powers the ability for customers to, from wherever they are, interact with associates in store, and most importantly, check out and add products to the cart in real time. So it completely synthesizes the worlds of live video, which is an incredibly powerful platform, and all the learnings that we all know today about the power of e-commerce. Bringing those two things together, I think, is something that a lot of brands are starting to take a peek at. And our platform is trying to align with some of the world's top brands to take some of their learnings and apply them to the problems they're solving with their customers.
Yeah, no, I love it. Let's talk about the origin story, because I think it's always fascinating. You know, I dabbled a bit at the top of the show about things that you've been involved in, but I think there's a team of people. You're one of the co-founders, and so we'd love to understand a little bit about that, how all these pieces came together. We all have kind of unique backgrounds. You guys have all joined in together now. Where did the desire and the expertise come from to even want to build this platform?
Well, the foundations of any startup are pretty important. For us, the foundations became in helping leading global brands for the past two decades get up online from the very early days in the late 90s of getting their first websites built, through the evolutions of having those websites be on mobile phones, which was a challenge to get people to convince them to do at the time, all the way through e-commerce and the early inventions and problems that that was solving. So we, for many years, have kind of been behind the scenes working with these global brands as kind of a Navy SEAL team executing at the highest level and learning from them of all the high-scale problems that they have around interacting with customers, releasing products to mass market, having it scale to millions and millions of people without crashing. These are all learnings that we've kind of cut our teeth on and fortified over the past 20 years. And if you really look at where we started to evolve into live shopping, is that e-commerce, if you look at it from the late 90s, when it really first came on the scene, has not really evolved since day one. We're still pointing and clicking on pictures, adding to cart, yep, confirming. And the truth of the matter is, behind the scenes, there's been so much innovation in that process of being able to get your product quicker, having pages load faster, and. But the actual experience has not evolved. But when you look at the in-store experience, it's evolved dramatically. Like, if you took a look back at, let's say, a Foot Locker store here in Canada, 20 years ago, the in-store experience is dramatically different. The displays, the lighting, the ambience, the experience is completely different. But if you go to any retailer website, the process of actually engaging with their products and checking out has not really evolved. So our view here is that we're interested in the fact that that evolution, I think, is due. We saw in the early and kind of mid-2000s a pop in the multimedia and interactive component of web, where bandwidth and things started to increase. But the truth of the matter is, I don't think anybody really loves the process of e-commerce yet. I think they like the result when they get their product, hopefully.
Yeah.
But nobody talks about website experiences the same way they talk about movies or TV shows or TikToks these days. And yet, it's the most highly interactive medium that exists. So we started tugging on this process and looking at the early days of video shopping, which we saw coming over from Asia, where Alibaba and Tmall were doing these incredibly interactive experiences. But the end-to-end part of it, of actually checking out, was a bit of a challenge. You kind of got ejected out of the experience to go shop, kind of traditionally on their website at the end of the day. So we started looking at how you synthesize those to actually have the checkout experience baked into the live shopping experience. And for the past few years, we've been trying to unify what happens to somebody when they're shopping in the store and how can we replicate that online. For example, when you go into shop into a store, you are attracted by the ambience of the lighting, the displays. You come into the store, you start shopping into a department, somebody comes to help you, and they get you the size, fit, quality of what you're looking for, and then check you out, which is one of the most important aspects. So Ghost brings all of those things together. It brings the experience of traditional e-commerce and getting as close to what we all kind of want, which is the touching feeling aspect of what live video can provide, and the power of the associate or the person that actually knows the product. Not somebody that's random that you're reading reviews from somebody you don't know, but an actual person that knows the brand can enter you into the world of the store. And for us, that's really, really interesting.
You know, it's interesting about the live stream kind of idea, because you're right about what's going on in China. I always look to them to see like what's going on over there. And obviously WeChat and just using messaging apps and stuff, you know, that's the central way of communication. And a lot of purchases are all happening. And we know that's the migration that's happening. You just think of the investments that Facebook and Google are doing and other really large brands thinking about the messaging in general and why SMS is so popular now with so many customers and merchants. And so it's very interesting. So other than the China effect, like why do you believe that this live streaming and this live stream shopping, why do you believe it's coming so popular? Is this a pandemic fueled kind of like opportunity? I'm just curious from your perspective.
It's not pandemic driven, although the pandemic has, I think, made people a lot more comfortable being on video. It's kind of unified the ability for people to talk and not be nervous about being on video, which we're all kind of experiencing over the last couple of years.
Yeah, definitely.
But this rise in video shopping has been evolving for 6 or 7 years over in Asia. What we're seeing now, though, kind of in the North American side and still over in Asia, is that everything is one-to-many, where one person is broadcasting to hundreds or millions of people all at once with one product. And this act of talking at people, I think, although it's interesting, we're not seeing the expected really significant lifts that we see with a one-on-one personal interaction.
Mm.
So you take the learnings of what we're seeing over in Asia with talking at a mass group of people and allowing them to chat with each other. The conversion rates do go up, but they're not significant to the point where everybody pokes their ears up and go, I have to get into this. What we're seeing when you have a one-on-one personal interaction where you can solve my problems as a consumer, I can ask you questions, I can look at the scale and size of a product. We've all probably had the experience where a package shows up at our door for something we've ordered and it's completely the wrong size that we expected it to be.
Yes. Yeah.
So this live video component, I think, introduces something that has never really been possible before due to bandwidth and technology limitations. But for the first time, customers are able to bring brands into their worlds to show them their spaces. If you're shopping for a bed, here's the room that I'm looking for. And we've been trying to solve it with augmented reality, but there's nothing more authentic than a live video experience where you can interact with the customer, find out what they really are, have a chat with them, and they can actually look and see the product, the exact product that's going to arrive at their door when they integrate it. So there's a lot of exciting possibilities. It's really first gear here with live video. Many brands and many of your listeners are probably hearing or thinking about this for the very first time.
Yeah. You know, it kind of reminds me of a practice that a lot of retailers are doing. There's a brand called Indeer out there that does clienteling is kind of what their market. I think they're a Plus technology partner. But what's interesting is that they don't go down the video road. What they do is, you know, slice and dice and segment up their customer data kind of geographically. And then they figure out, you know, the communication channel the customer wants to be communicated on, being it email or SMS, and offer kind of local promotional things for their quote unquote book of business, like their commissioned salespeople probably, or, you know, they're just kind of part of your job description. But that's the clienteling part of just more digital towards your quote unquote, the customers that are maybe yours for that location. And I see how this is a much different thing. I like what you said, you know, talking to many different people, like one to many. You're right. There's a little bit of kind of yelling going on. I've watched a few of these videos and just people, the things people are selling, usually selling one off. It feels like the home shopping club where they're just kind of like really excited. And I've even seen some videos where they pan back. I've seen the education that there's even schools in China that they can teach you how to do live video correctly with your ring light and how to interact with it. But at the end of the day, I mean, you make a great point. It's really the one-to-one. You want to create that relationship with the customer. I would imagine that the conversion lift must be significantly higher if both parties are willing to say, no, I want to talk to somebody in this particular retail location, like live right now, and discuss something that I'm interested in buying. And we'll talk a minute about, does this have to happen in the store or can it happen at home? Or a studio. I think there's some interesting nuances here that I don't even know about yet. So just would like to throw that back to you and just saying, like, am I going down the right path here about this one-to-one and the conversion lift opportunity?
Well, right now, I think we've all bought into this myth that on e-commerce, a 2-5% conversion rate is a home run. If you took those same metrics in a live shopping environment and somebody walking into a store, and out of 100 people that walk into the store, only two people are checking out.
Yikes. Yikes.
The business would be out of, wouldn't survive.
Right.
So I think it's time to change and try new things. With the partners that we've launched so far, we're seeing a 700% increase in conversions.
Wow. Okay.
We're seeing a 2x increase in basket size because the person you're talking to is knowledgeable about the product and learning about you. If you're looking for camping equipment, for example, you have the opportunity to interact with the customer and the associates can upsell in a way that they haven't before. If you're selling shoes, got the shoes, maybe you need the protective spray or the socks. These type of interactions don't happen online in traditional e-commerce because you're depending on the customer to do that self-discovery. We're also seeing some really interesting metrics around the reduction of returns. As you can imagine, the more education you can give to a customer about what they're buying, see the material, the real fabric, the real scale, and the real quality of a product, it reduces returns. You know, we all know there's a big problem in returns right now, and brands are losing a lot of their margin by having to return their customer product. And most of them, if they're large enough, are doing this for free. Also, which is another interesting thing, is that bad actors for fraud are much less likely to show their face on a live video a fraudulent credit card. And all of these metrics are kind of the North Star for most brands when they're looking at their e-commerce as whether it's successful or not. What's my conversion rate? What's my basket size? And by introducing a live person to live people to actually have a conversation in a way they've never had before, while reinforcing the brand moments and the ambience and the quality of the product and the brand and the music and all the things that go from an in-store experience, it creates these type of online shopping things that people are starting to talk about. So the results so far, although early, are proving our theory that one-on-one personalization is going to be a significant part of the future. That's not to say that one-to-many broadcasting isn't relevant. I think the flow is going to be social media to mass broadcasting to boiling those down to one-on-one conversations.
Yeah, I'd argue too that maybe reviews and UGC, this user-generated content, which is, you know, necessary, I think, on a product details page for a traditional e-commerce site. I think that certainly adds the social proof to let people kind of push them over the edge. But you make a really good point, 2-5% conversion rate based on having all of those things in place, having a Shopify store, having, you know, a Shopify payments and Shop Pay or Shop Pay installments kind of turned on, and then having proper reviews and things on your website. These are just like table stakes right now. You just have to have all those just to get the 2-3% conversion rate. But you're suggesting that slowly people are understanding the value. I'd argue maybe there's even like some behavior changes, maybe even in customers where they actually want that personalized service now. And like they get in store, you're offering the technology to actually do that.
We are. And I think it's time to change and try new things, because what we're currently doing with this traditional e-commerce is doing kind of horizontal improvements where you're doing a little tweak to the conversion rate, but the process is exactly the same. Like, we haven't changed the checkout flow ever. We can still do some things, but fundamentally, it hasn't changed. And the fact that we have this incredibly interactive medium, our technology of what we're actually taking advantage of, what's available to us right now, versus what we could be doing, is massive. And we're trying to narrow that by learning some of these things. Not to mention, you talk about user-generated content, which a few years ago was the most important buzzword that you could say in a board meeting.
Yeah.
But how fascinating is real-time, on-demand, user-generated content with a customer in a way that you've never had the opportunity to engage with them before? Even the advertising model in one-to-one or live video at this time has massive potential. We haven't even scratched the surface of what using machine learning to understand what's happening in a customer's universe and facial expressions and what color shirt are they wearing that's anonymized enough that doesn't make people get the creep factor. Mm-hmm. But these are areas that advertisers need to start looking into.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I remember reading something a long time ago. I don't know if it was some kind of NLP thing or Anthony Robbins, but literally the words themselves are like 7% or something of total communication. But there's a lot of other nuances that I know can come out in video by, you're right, facial expressions and tone and excitement. There's a lot of things, and just, it's very interesting the trust factor that comes out of, because a lot of times you send an email and you're like, the context is not great. But Matt, if you actually have someone speaking to them and get their inflection and their tonality and their speed. It actually rounds out the whole communication pattern.
It's such an exciting meeting. I think we take live video for granted because it seems so seamless nowadays.
Yeah.
But how fascinating is it that no matter where you are in the world, with a 300 millisecond latency, you're going to be able to interact with someone anywhere with high quality video and audio and bring each other into each other's spaces. We talk about teleportation, and I kind of, when I was thinking about creating this prototype of what Ghost Retail is today, I really was thinking about how teleportation into a store is, how can we get there? And I don't mean physically, but I was looking at three-dimensional graphics and augmented and virtual reality. And I just stumbled on something that I felt was so obvious, which is one-on-one live video, let two people talk to each other, and then power that by a world-class e-commerce experience that everybody knows. And I think once your listeners get a chance, as we roll this out with some major global retailers, that when they try it for the first time, they're going to see the power of what's possible.
Yeah. So let's pivot a bit over to that and let's talk about the implementation part of it. So there's some large retailers. I think you mentioned, like, there's Red the Website too, American Eagle and Canada Goose. There's a whole gang of big enterprise brands that have made the choice to use your platform. So how do you get started? And then I guess I just don't know the process of kind of what happened. The retailer says yes, and they have, you know, some training of the agents, but then where do these people, like, where are they located? Like, do they work out of their home? Are they in store? They have to create some kind of studio. Like, I just don't even know where everybody's going to reside physically.
Great question. So we're learning so much from the brands that we're working with. We're lucky to be able to interact with these brands that have been doing business on a global scale and have incredible learnings to teach us at the same time. So we're somewhat figuring it out together. There's three ways that these brands can use our technology. We're a white label technology, so our experience is going to be melted into the experiences that customers are already having with these brands on their websites, through their apps, and other areas. The three ways that brands can deploy this is in their store. So that's the obvious one, bringing customers directly into their store. Some of our partners are even taking the storefronts where the mannequins and stuff usually would be on the outside and doing live shows to interact with customers from wherever they are. There's the studio model, which is really interesting because for the first time, the requirement of having a multi-million dollar storefront on a really high-end street to get foot traffic isn't really necessary because you could take 10 by 10 studio set, put the design of the brand within that studio set, and the live video becomes kind of the conduit to the feeling of being in store. So you may or may not even know that the person that you're interacting with is or isn't in the store. So this opens up the opportunity to totally decentralize retail. And that might be scary for some of your listeners, thinking about the fact that they don't. But I also think it's exciting when you can set up a studio at a low cost in your warehouse in like an off location that doesn't require high rent expenses and to staff and all the other things that happen. So the third way is going to be at home. And ironically, which is a theory we didn't really see coming, but I think when you really go down the rabbit hole of this, the at-home model, if you take a person that's an expert at a brand, and there's influencers and people that know brands sometimes better than the brands themselves in some cases, and you empower them with this live streaming technology to sell one-on-one to customers within their network from their home whenever they are, is really powerful because you take the mall concept that's open from, let's be generous here, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. And now you can operate 24 hours a day in different time zones and not have to depend on mall or store hours in a traditional standpoint to interact with customers in different time zones, in different areas, and be completely decentralized right in the comfort of their own home where they have, like you said, the ring light and the Wi-Fi, and let's go.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting about the influencer side of it, or I just even think of like the creator economy and what a great opportunity for brands. I mean, influencer marketing is number one on a lot of brands' radars at driving some net new visitors and, you know, tapping into other people's audiences, other people that have influence and love the brand. But what an interesting opportunity to be able to give them an opportunity through their socials to saying, hey, a brand says, hey, influencer, we're going to give you access to the Ghost Retail platform and you can choose, you know, through your own socials models, how you want to present the product live. And here they have an actual platform that they can run on behalf of the brand. And then imagine there could be some commission opportunities. They could choose to do product launches and drops and things all around their audience. And it really is an exchange of time and money for sure. But you are offering the platform to the brand, and the creator get to work together harmoniously. And there sounds like there could be a lot of engagement here, and there could be a lot of conversions, because more than just doing a quick Instagram story that just kind of up for a day and off it goes. I mean, there's only so much you can do, but if you promote a live feed, maybe even as an event, I mean, that certainly could be an option too. Or, you know, the other option, like you said, right on the PDP page, you can have a click a button, talk to someone live right now. But that creator economy is such an interesting angle that I'm always fascinated with.
Well, we always love to buy from people that we know, don't we? You know, creating those
like
relationships.
Yep.
It's trust, and it's also a little bit of adventure when you know somebody knows you and knows your style, and there's a personal aspect to it. You don't have to try to do all that guesswork online. For example, you know, brands are spending millions or billions in trying to figure out who their customers are when they land on their page with machine learning and tracking where they've been and who they are, which all goes out the window when you're shopping for somebody else. for starters.
That's true.
But in 10 seconds, I can say, hi, my name is Tyler. I'm here to help you. What are you looking for today? And those simple words create such an opportunity to start getting to know your customer, and they're going to guide you. One of the cool things about Ghost Retail is we've created a technology that's completely hands-off. So this is something, for the very first time, customer can go onto a website and not have to try to figure out what the heck to do.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
The associate shows and shares products. They can sit back and enjoy the experience. They can ask questions. The in-store or at-home or in-studio person can add products to their cart and check them out. They can do all the heavy lifting, which is what they do in the store. And for the first time, it's creating this like hands-free shopping experience, which I think gets us a little bit closer to what we all really want.
Absolutely. You know, what's interesting too, would there be a need for a customer to download an app or do anything? Or is this just a seamless experience for a customer to show up on the page somewhere and there's a link somewhere on the website to talk to somebody live? Like, you know, a lot of times with Zoom and other different types of tools and things, there's like, oh, wait a second, I got to download this thing and activate it and create an account. And so just would like to understand the workflow of a customer's perspective.
Yeah, we're definitely not trying to introduce new friction points in the shopping journey. We're trying to smash them completely down. Our technology is baked within the technologies of the enterprise brands that we currently launch. Now, this is not to say that on a timeline that we're not going to be working and interacting with small to medium-sized enterprises, but we're trying to move forward at a faster pace by learning from the global brands that are out there mixing it up in many different categories across health and beauty, you know, obviously fashion and apparel, food and beverage, automotive, and so on. And talking about Shopify, one of the aspects that I think your listeners should be trying to move towards here is you got to start integrating directly with the brains of the brands or the companies that you're working with, integrating into their warehouse management systems, into their ERPs. And as you go to a major brand, those problems get more sophisticated. The great thing about Shopify is it does a lot of that heavy lifting for you. So we're integrated into Shopify, where the platform can pull product inventory and kind of provide the full experience. We do it headless. However, the backend technology, what Shopify provides, gives us the template to be able to do so. But regardless of the enterprise system, APIs and looking at data integration is really critical. I would also say that for your listeners looking at doing this, I would invite them to start experimenting with people that are already doing live shopping. And what you'll find is that there's a lot of great companies out there trying to figure it out. But what they're doing at this stage, because it takes an incredible amount of thought and passing of data, is they're taking a Zoom meeting, they're doing a chat bot and kind of cobbling, so to speak, these technologies together, which at the end creates a lot of friction because you're just sending somebody to the website at the end of it through a text message or through a link or through an email to check out. Our technology is baked directly into the experience so that none of that stuff really needs to happen. I think this synthesis of data and integration is something that the Shopify platform excels at and always has. And we're looking at using that type of information and learning on a daily basis with Shopify.
One thing too that I think is important to note is whenever I recommend a technology for a brand, like I said, I have a pretty large book of business that I manage in Shopify. And, you know, whenever I say, hey, I've just, you know, interviewed this company and I think this might be interesting for you, one of the first questions that come back is this, do they play nice with our existing tech stack? And it sounds like what you've just mentioned is the short answer is yes, because, you know, it's baked right in, you know, your API driven headless kind of doing your thing. You know, I think of like different types of solutions that are already live, like loyalty programs, be it Yotpo or Smile, or, you know, the Loyalty Lion, these sort of kind of technologies that are already built into their process. And same as for like marketing automation tools. If you think like, you know, Dot Digital or Omnisend or Klaviyo, there's a lot of like technologies that are just are necessary part of their tech stack. It has to be there. Would love your comments about how have you intentionally kind of built the platform to play nice with other pieces of technology that may be connected to the Shopify store.
We're purpose built to have this end-to-end experience. And we thought early days that hardwiring our technology into the APIs and connectors of some of the technologies that you mentioned was kind of at the core. So this Internet of Things API webhook type universe for your listeners that are kind of poking around in these technologies are incredibly powerful. Shopify has the Flow technology, and these type of webhooks can quite literally listen for events that happen out there. Order got placed, customer came on, and hundreds of other different endpoints to trigger experiences. So for us, it was table stakes when you're working with an enterprise brand to work with their technologies. You really don't get past the first or second meeting if your technology is abstracted or creates technical debt for their teams on their side. The other aspect of not doing that is the security. So, you know, the biggest brands that are out there have really, really, really strict security requirements for data protection. So you really got to have your ducks in a row about how you're using the APIs and the credentialing and the technology to interface with them. But at the end of the day, what we figured out is how to put the order directly back into those systems. So even though we're white labeled on our side, placing the order within the system of the brand, whether it's Shopify or any of the others, Dynamics 365, Salesforce, Commerce Cloud, all of the technologies that they're currently using on their e-commerce operation instantly get picked up in the same way. So it's low lift, they don't have to think about it, and it just works. So for your listeners, I think exploring the worlds of webhooks and APIs and exploring what Shopify has to offer when it comes to these, which is really sophisticated engines that are reliable and provide a lot of really cool opportunities to automate, is something that is worth looking into.
Absolutely. So let's pivot a bit to a story, because I think it's always interesting to me. I know you're newish on the marketplace, but you've also have a lot of large enterprise brands that are really taking this platform for a spin and finding some great success. And hopefully I'm not putting you on the spot here, but I love the education and the inspiration that comes out of a story. I think it just helps motivate us. And it also makes brands think about, you know, can I see myself with that sort of technology? And like, when do I begin to start kicking the tires to figure if this is something for me? And so hopefully you can... put you on the spot here, but if you could maybe share a recent story or a journey, hopefully of a Shopify brand that maybe has made the decision to implement Ghost Retail, and kind of where were they before, you know, did they hit a roadblock, and why are they choosing to want to be progressive enough to try live video and one-to-one through your platform? And then maybe what was the outcome on the other end of implementing the solution?
Sure. I can talk in general aspects of some of the partners that we've launched so far with American Eagle and Canada Goose, and Toronto Raptors and Maple Leafs are powered by the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment brand, and they have integrated directly into Shopify. So we're neurally networked when it comes to Shopify and Ghost with that organization. The use case for them, I think, is obvious, where the pandemic certainly amplified the fact that no fans could come into the stadiums, that they had all this space and all this retail space within the organization that couldn't necessarily be taken advantage of just due to limitations and restrictions. So for the first time, I think brands like them are thinking about how they can take advantage of these in-store experiences and bring them out and bring customers directly into their worlds. American Eagle also is seeing some great early success by empowering their influencer networks. So they're one of the ones that are really taking advantage of influencers and associates there's a great debate around what's better and what converts more, somebody who's an influencer that is obsessed with a brand or somebody that's been trained to know the brand. I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out, but ultimately it shouldn't be one or the other. American Eagle was one of the first platformed brands that came to us, and we're really proud to have them as part of our learnings and part of our results so far. So people are loving it from a customer standpoint on all aspects. The associates in store are loving it, and the marketing and the brand teams are seeing live video as a completely new way to play within their customer base, and we're just scratching the surface. I mean, the pace car is still on the track when it comes to, to live video, and certainly in one-to-one, you're going to have a hard time finding very few experiences that excel in one-to-one, if any. So I think that we have a great opportunity, all of us together, for everybody who's listening, to push forward and challenge the people that were providing these online experiences to take a look at what's possible with live video and even just to get started. And I could tell you the results and the excitement is something that I really haven't seen for a number of years. And I'm not saying I've seen everything, but in 30 years of being in the technology space and seeing almost every evolution of technology, this one I'm really, really excited about.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I remember Harley Finkelstein, the president of Shopify, he is very public about what happened through the pandemic and stuff. And, you know, there's been a lot of research and stuff that he has released. And one thing that he talks a lot about how brands are winning is just this concept of resiliency and just the fact that, you know what, we're not going to stick our head in the sand. You know, we're not going to chase every shiny object, you know, for sure. However, live video has proven to be a value, certainly the one to many for sure in Asia. But I also see the benefits of what you guys are building. And it's okay to stick your neck out and have a plan of kind of what you're doing. And I applaud you for making decisions to align yourself with Shopify, because it's very clear that from a direct-to-consumer perspective and some of the massive brands that are on Shopify and just the massive growth of the platform, it's very clear that this is something that I think resilient entrepreneurs and brands really want to execute on, and at least look into it and find out, hey, I don't want to miss the boat here, and I want to differentiate my brand to others in the marketplace. And so it's clear that some of these large enterprise companies have made that decision, and that, you know, is going to have a trickle-down effect. And that's the reason why I have you on today, because I know there's a lot of Shopify Plus brands that are in your sweet spot that have the capacity to want to try something new, and you have the white label solution to do that sort of thing. So I want to talk about Q4, because I think one thing that's important based on this release, we're really, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks out from BFCM. And I think there's a lot of things on a lot of brands' radars right now in the Shopify world, the supply chain fulfillment side of it, and just the customer experience overall. I just was curious if you could recommend anything to brands. I know this is kind of like late in the kind of BFCM world, but as it relates to your platform or live streaming in general, like, what are you recommending, or what are you seeing out in the wild right now about what brands should be doing?
Well, I think it's important to be experimenting right now. What we see in technology since the beginning really is that once you have enough people on the dance floor, everybody scrambles to catch up. And the music is already playing in Asia. It's making its way through Europe. And by the time it really hits North America, it's going to be really loud. So I encourage everybody to start looking at and trying live video with brands that are out there. Even if you don't buy, go and try an experience of a brand that's doing it and start seeing what the potential is for your own brands. Looking at what's happening for the Christmas season, I still think that there's time to do some of the early groundwork to experiment with some of that through the holiday season. Do a little A/B testing on whatever platform you can get your hands on at this time to do so, even if it is the primitive version of Zoom calls, etc. So on one hand, you can see the experience. On two, that you can understand the friction and the technologies that all need to work together to make it happen. So I think everybody needs to go into a really deep research phase right now to understand that this is coming, that you can't stop it, and that it's time to get ready.
Okay. All right. That's awesome. So let's talk about the future for the platform. You know, it's very clear that there's likely a roadmap of things that, you know, these enterprise brands, I think that's part of your testing process, is like, hey, we've got a lot of ducks in a row and it's working quite well. And we're very happy. You gave some great stats here of the increased conversion rate and the basket size increases. So it's very clear the technology is working, but that also means that there's some iteration over time. So I'd just be curious to understand kind of, where are we today? What do you believe 22 is going to look like? Is there any partner alignment or innovation? I'd just just, I guess it's nice to get warm and fuzzy saying, hey, we're here today and here's what we're doing. We're aligning ourselves with Shopify, but like, where are we going to be a year from now? Just so brands understand that, hey, yes, we do this great now, but here's where I believe the future is headed with our platform.
Well, what we're going to see right now is as brands try this out, they're going to start understanding what the power of it will be. For us, we can see very few retailers in North America are even experimenting or understanding what they need to do with live video. They're already working on their plan from Q1 of the previous year to execute now. Those ideas are going to shift into what's next, what's new as new planning comes and the big events of Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and Christmas holidays move into, okay, how do we prepare our brands for the future? So to provide some context, the top 1,000 e-commerce retailers in North America did more than $4 trillion in sales last year, with their web accounting for like 20% of that, not to mention at a 2 to 5% conversion rate.
Right.
So yeah, we have such an amazing opportunity to start taking advantage of new technologies like Ghost and like live video, and Shopify becomes a brain for a lot of that stuff. And I'm being very complimentary to Shopify, which I'm sure Toby will love, but at the end of the day,
yeah,
you know, the technology, the platform, the foundations of facilitating, knowing your customers, getting the order out the door, automation, Shopify stands as one of the few on earth that have the capabilities to do so. And for people like us, allows us to build the experience layer on top of all that technology and interface with it easily and securely. So I think retailers are going to start positioning themselves over the next couple months of definitely looking at live video. We hope to continue to be in front of many of them, innovating and being those first few brands on the dance floor, mm-hmm. so that people can follow and see what the opportunities really can be.
Love it. So how can people learn more about the solution and maybe their potential next steps to vet the solution?
I would encourage everybody to go check out ghostretail.com. An obvious one, if you want to check out, you can push the book a demo button. As of right now, we're enterprise focused, but we're gearing up to see what all those learnings can really look like for the mass market and for smaller retailers. So that would be a great place to start, ghostretail.com.
Beautiful. Well, Tyler, thank you so much for coming on the show today. You know, like, as you know this, since you know Toby and Harley and kind of traveling those circles for quite a few years, but the mission of Shopify really is to make commerce better for everyone, or building a path that leads to more entrepreneurs. And it's very, very clear that Ghost Retail, you really are in tight alignment with really wanting to help these, certainly the enterprise brands, to start improving efficiencies and grow revenue in what I would call a brand new sales channel. I think it's amazing that you're allowing this experiential thing of in-store to be available through technology now. And I think it's phenomenal. I just wanted to thank you for, number one, if you saw my notes, I've scribbled down like I'm on my third page of notes now. I've learned so much today. I'm going to be passing this on to a couple large enterprise brands that I manage. But just, I appreciate your knowledge and your vision. And I appreciate the fact that you are truly giving back to the ecosystem and wanting to help brands to grow and scale.
Well, thanks for giving me a chance to talk about it with your listeners today. Big fan of your podcast and looking forward to future episodes where I can learn as well.
All right, sounds good. All right, have yourself a great day.
Okay, you too.
Today's episode of E-commerce Fastlane is brought to you by Omnisend. Now, Omnisend is an email and SMS marketing platform built for nimble Shopify merchants who want to increase their sales, not their workload. Full Shopify integration, pre-built automation workflows, intuitive segmentation, and best part, no code editing makes it easy to get up and running without diving into the nitty-gritty details, of course, unless you want to. Now, more than 70,000 e-commerce brands use Omnisend to grow their businesses on autopilot, converting their customers with quick-to-build, highly relevant emails and text. Find out more about Omnisend and start free today. No credit card required. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.